This is Joe Ferrello, and welcome to the weekly sermon from Amwell Church of the Brethren. We are located at 40 Sandbrook Headquarters Road in Surgeonsville, New Jersey.
This week's message is presented by Pastor Bob DeSalvio and is entitled, The Times of Your Life.
My message this morning is entitled, The Times of Your Life. The Times of Your Life. Benjamin Franklin asked this question, Do you love life? And then he said, then don't squander it, for time is the stuff life is made of. What are you doing with your time? You can't save time. You can't slow down time. How many of you have found that out? When you're a kid, you can't wait to reach 18 or 21 or whatever else it is. And then when you got there, you say, is that all there is? And then over time, you realized you should go back to 18 and 21. And it isn't long before you realize you're 30 and 40 and 50. You can't slow it down. And a funny thing, it seems to go faster the older you get. There seems to be less of it the older you get. It seems to be more precious the older you get. Your mind gets focused on how much time has passed in your life. Time is the great equalizer. It doesn't matter if you're rich. If you were the richest person on the face of the earth, whoever that is, that person could not buy one more second of life. Not even a minute of life. So it's the great equalizer. Life passes for all of us. Each minute only has 60 seconds, regardless of whether you're rich or poor or famous or just somebody on the street. Somebody wrote, time is relative. 2 weeks on vacation is not the same as 2 weeks on a diet. I remember one of my favorite episodes of The Honeymooners where Ralph is complaining about his mother-in-law coming over. He said, remember the last time she came, she only wanted to stay for the holidays, Christmas and New Year's. The only problem was she came New Year's and stayed till Christmas. Someone wrote that time is a great healer, but a lousy beautician. Think about that. A picket sign, time heals all wounds, time and a half heals it faster. God speaks of time in some of the most eloquent manner. Turn with me in your Bibles or up here on PowerPoint, and let's stand together as we read Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Stand if you're able. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1 to 15, as we open God's precious and holy word. To everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under heaven. A time to be born, and a time to die. A time to plant, and a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill, and a time to heal. A time to break down, and a time to build up. A time to weep, and a time to laugh. A time to mourn, and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones, and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to get, and a time to lose. A time to keep, and a time to cast away. A time to rend, and a time to sow. A time to keep silence, and a time to speak. A time to love, and a time to hate. A time of war, and a time of peace. What profit hath that worketh in the wherein he laboreth? I have seen the travail which God hath given to the sons of men to be exercised in it. He hath made everything beautiful in his time. Also he hath set the world in their heart, so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. I know that there is no good in them, but for a man to rejoice and to do good in his life, and also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor. It is the gift of God. I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it. And God doeth it, that men should fear before him. That which hath been is now, and that which is to be hath already been. And God requireth that which is past. Thank you. You may be seated. He shares with us the natural seasons. There's four seasons. I mean, we're blessed in the Northeast to have four seasons. Some people don't like that. Go to Florida, it seems to be one season. Some people love that. I don't know. But there's spring. Oh, I know my mother loves that. I take that back. I know you love it. 250, you go into her apartment, palm trees are growing. But you got to have it hot. Spring is the promise of new life. There are buds, there are blossoms, there are fawns, there are chicks, there are lambs planting for harvest. Spring is like that. It encourages me. Summer is golden, sun-drenched days, fruit ripening, corn growing, lazy days, leisurely nights. Fall is crisp, wind-blown afternoons, brilliantly colored leaves dancing their way to the forest floor. There's husking and canning and jars filled with harvest bounty. And then there's winter, those cold, blustery days. The land is asleep with a blanket of snow to insulate the ground. And the text tells us that life is like that. Life has its seasons. In verse 1, as we go through this expository sermon this morning, verses 1 and 2 say that change is as much a part of life as are those seasons. This is something people absolutely cannot get their arms around. I was in business for over 35 years, and the hardest things in business to communicate was the fact that things are going to change. Whether you accept that change is going to come into the business or whether you don't, it's going to happen anyway. And we see change all over our country. Businesses are changing. The way people purchase these days is changing. It seems like the big malls and the box stores and the retail stores are starting to close up left and right because of the change that everybody's buying over the internet. Change is an inevitable part of life. The writer of Ecclesiastes, Solomon, writes under God's inspiration that the calendar of human life is a series of contrasts. He said the days give way into night, and spring gives way into summer, and summer to autumn, and autumn to winter. You don't like winter? Some of you don't. Hang on, spring's right around the corner. Neither you, nor I, nor the government, nor any power on earth has any control over the weather. That's in God's hands, amen? It's in God's hands. You had no control over being born. You'll have no control over your death. Hebrews 9:27 says this, it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. This is different than the Eastern religions teach, that there is a second opportunity, a second bite of the apple of life. But your Bible says this is it. This is your shot. What are you going to do with it? The choices you make in this life will determine where you spend eternity. God has determined our length of days from birth to death. Now the average person, I think it's around 70, 75 years old. The Bible says 70, which is 70 years. What are you doing with your 70 years? Some of you have lived longer and some of you will live longer. But let's just take the average span of 70 years and let's see what a person in America does with those 70 years. Well, number one, they spend 20 years sleeping. That's an average. Some of you have been asleep for 35 years. Hello, somebody. I'm going around with a mirror next week to see who's still breathing. 20 years working. Boy, it feels worse than that. 11 years on your electronic devices, whether that's television, your iPhone, your computer, name it. 11 years. Some people do that in a day. 6 years eating. Anybody? Anybody want to try for 10? 3 years waiting, 5 years dressing. Now that's for men. Women, it's 40 years. I don't know why, but that's the way it is. Now, Pastor, you can get in a lot of trouble doing that. But you love me, don't you? 3 years waiting for somebody or standing in line. I'm not crazy about waiting for people. I mean, if they're late, I'm wondering, oh, did I miss it? Did it already happen? Was I supposed to be down the street? Should it have been another avenue? What did I do? How come I'm here? They're not here. What's going on? 5 minutes, I'm paranoid. Oh, here's an interesting statistic. 1.5 years in church out of 70 years. And 5 months tying your shoes. Gives you a little perspective on life. Verse 3 says that after war comes peace. Praise the Lord. But we're human. And after peace comes war. It's a vicious cycle. A vicious cycle. Peace and war and war and peace. It continues throughout human history. War and peace each take their turn to affect the course of human history. Verse 4, that there is a time to weep, a time to laugh, a time to mourn, and a time to dance. Did you notice the implied promise that weeping and mourning come first and then laughter and dancing follow? It's going to happen. You may be grieved in heart today. You may be hurting today. But I want to say to you, hang on. After those tears are shed, joy comes in the morning. Don't let go. This is not the time to do it. There are people who go through very difficult times in their lives, and they give up on God. And I scratch my head and I say, I don't understand that. This is just the time you need him. People say to me, you've said to me, I don't know how I would have gotten through this time without the Lord. Well, there are people who are trying to get through their times without the Lord. It's a totally different experience. Hang on to the Lord. No matter what you're going through, it will not last a lifetime. But here's an important principle spelled out in Psalm 30, verse 5. Anger endures but a moment. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. How long is your morning of anguish? How many hours are in your night of tears? Only God knows, but God promises you this. This too shall pass. You may be going through a season of happy times or a sad times, but change is inevitable. You can only be prepared by being close to the Lord. That's how you get through these times. Verses 5 to 8 remind us of life's ebb and flow. Productive years, 35 years in the business world, I was very productive. My calendar, my daily calendar, my weekly calendar looked like a fly landed in an ink pad and then walked on my daily calendar. I had so many things to do. Productive years. Then you get to a place where you no longer have those productive years. Everybody experiences that. Economic upturns followed by economic downturns. I mean, the stock market is, what, almost 21,000? People expecting it to go higher than that? Is it? Whatever goes up is going to come down. Friendships, once close and warm, grow to distance and being cold. Things new and exciting become old and lose their luster. What we thought was love can turn into something else. These are the ebb and flow of life. You want to go through these changes with God by your side and God as your pilot. Verse 8. There are times to speak up and times to shut up. Do we know what time it is? Well, I think it's time for Christians to stand up and speak the name of Jesus and not be intimidated. Now's the time to share the gospel with your life and with your lips. Now's the time not to be ashamed of the gospel of Christ, because it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. And it's time for us to live a life in such a way that people can read our witness by our life long before they hear it. And then when they hear it, they'd be more willing to accept it. Now's the time. Verse 9 raises a question. If life is so fleeting, so temporary and unchangeable, when all your work, all you work for or all you live for can disappear in a moment, and life is so fragile, what's life all about anyway? I think that's a fair question. Solomon responds to his own question this way. No matter the challenges, the ups, the downs, times of happiness and sorrow, you can still find comfort, peace, and strength in God's promises. Verse 11, we sang it, that he will make all things beautiful in his time. You say, Pastor, how in the world can that possibly happen? Beauty, ultimately beauty, can come out of life's uglies. You say, how could that be? Well, think about tornadoes out west. Think about floods here. Think about hurricanes here. Think about when we had Sandy. What did you see coming out of churches all over the country? People pouring into the shore of New Jersey only to give back, to build up, to repair. That's beautiful. When you're hurting and you're crying and somebody comes alongside you and puts their arm around you as a brother or sister in Christ and prays with you and tells you you're not going through this time alone, but the Lord is with you and they're with you and we'll partner together to get through this time. How beautiful is that? How beautiful is a kind word, a prayer? You may not find beauty in your current circumstance, but keep looking. Keep expecting to see God's hand holding you up. Keep looking for the miracle that is the rose among the thorns. Keep looking for the miracle that comes after the darkest storm, a rainbow. There are roses and rainbows of God's love and God's care coming your way. Just don't give up. Don't quit. Now's not the time to do that. This is not the time for that. This is the time to hold on. Verse 12 and 13, he writes, our life must be invested in doing good. Our life must be invested in doing good. Through every tribulation, there are lessons to be learned and shared with others who are hurting. The work of the Christian is to be an ambassador of Jesus Christ to the people around you. People are watching how you go through tough times. They know you're a Christian. Now they're looking to see if you just gripe and grumble as much as they do when you go through hard times. They're looking to find out if you're just as desperate and hopeless through hard times as they are. They're looking to see if God doesn't answer your prayers the way God doesn't answer their prayers. They're looking for all the ways in which they can see an inconsistency in what you've been talking about all this time in the good times. They're looking to see if it's just as valid in the bad times. They want to know if it's real for you. And so they're watching how we go through desperate and difficult times. And I can tell you this, we can go through times better and not bitter if we're holding on to the Lord. We can come out the other side better and not worse. We can come out the other side seeing things of beauty and not just seeing the uglies. We can find that little ray of sunlight in every darkened day. If we don't give up, if we hang on, and if we invest our time in those things which allow us to find that kind of attitude. We want to share his saving gospel, that Christ came into the world to seek and to save those who are lost, and we want to proclaim his serving gospel, to feed the hungry, to shelter the homeless, to comfort the brokenhearted, to welcome the outsider. But we need to be good stewards of our time in order to accomplish that mission. Give a person who is very busy something to do, and they'll get it done. That's the axiom that comes out of business. Whenever I needed to call upon people I knew could get a project accomplished, I knew how they worked, I knew what they did, I'd call on so-and-so, and I knew this would get done. There are just some people who can't put that all together in their heads. You and I have to redeem our time. We have to steward our time. We have to be careful with our time. Ephesians 5:16 says this, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Redeeming means to buy back the moments others throw away. We must be very careful not to waste precious minutes in our life. You and I, as Christians, are going to be accountable for one day before the Lord as to how we spent these minutes. There's a little poem that says this, little drops of water, little grains of sand, make the mighty ocean and the pleasant land. So the little minutes, humble though they may be, make the mighty ages of eternity. These minutes grow into hours. Those hours grow into days. What are you doing with your minutes? Because if you're paying attention to the little things, the big things will take care of themselves. What are you doing with your time? What am I doing with my time? Am I frivoling it away? There isn't enough time in life to do all the things you may want to do. Consequently, you must prioritize and make time for the things that really matter. And what really matters in your life? That's the blank in the sentence you have to fill in. What really matters? I have 8 suggestions, things for you to ponder. Number 1, Make time to read the Bible because it is God's gateway to knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. If you want to cling to God's word, you're going to have to get into it. And I'm not just talking about putting your toe in like you do to the pool on a summer day. I'm talking about if you're going to get in, get in. Because if you want to draw any strength, any comfort, any encouragement, any peace, and find true love, you're going to have to go in the book to find it. If you want to find God's face, He's not in a song. He's in a book. Make time to think, meditate, concentrate on what you've read. It's not just a matter of reading, and reading is a wonderful thing, and everybody should read through the Bible. And everybody should read the Bible. But then you need to pause and say, what is God trying to tell me as I read this? What's He want to say to me? What am I supposed to do as a result of this verse? Love more? Be a peacemaker? Be a fruit inspector and not a nitpicker? Am I supposed to stop gossiping? Am I supposed to stop being mean-spirited? Am I supposed to give more to the Lord? Am I supposed to love that person more than I already do? Am I supposed to go out of my way for these people? You want the answers to that? Get into God's Word. The Holy Spirit will tell you the rest. Make time to worship God. It's why He made you. What is man's purpose on life? To love the Lord. To worship and praise Him with your life and with your lips. There is no greater purpose. If you take care of God, if you worship God, if you put Him number one, all the rest will follow. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You want the very best of life? Then give your very best to the Lord. It will follow. It's a promise. But do you believe it? Now, it's one thing to say, Pastor, I believe it. And it's something else to say, Pastor, I'll do it. You see, preaching is easier than practice. It's easy to say something, but it's not so easy to do it. But that's what you're being called. Make time to be alone with God. He is the source of everything. How long has it been since you knelt by your bed and prayed to the Lord God in heaven? How long has it been? That was a question for you this morning. How did you answer it? Make time to pray. It's the source of power and strength. Make time to help and enjoy others. No other happiness is its match. Living to carry out the Lord's saving and serving gospel is the greatest thing a human being can do on this earth. When your life is led in a way that reflects Christ Jesus, you are living a rich and satisfying and purposeful and meaningful life. There is no better life than the life on fire for Jesus Christ. How do I know? I felt it. I've experienced it. I'm better when that happens than I am when I'm cold and indifferent. Make time to love, because if you don't, it will fade away. Love is a plant that needs watering and care. Tell the people you love in your life that you love them. Don't let a day go by without hugging, kissing your children, your grandchildren, the people in your life. Let your spouse know how much you love them. Let the people you care about know that you love them. And you love them honestly, and you love them purely, and it will do wonders for them. And make time to laugh and play. God has given you these to lighten life's load. And I think it's great when we can be in a church where people can laugh. Amen? So what's happening? How come you're not laughing? Yeah, isn't it great? I mean, isn't it great to be yourself and not have to put on any airs? It's wonderful to take time to laugh. Laughter is good medicine, the Bible says. It's good for the heart. It's good for the emotions. Tears are good, too. Tears wash away terrible feelings. Laughter lifts you up. Those are the emotions God's given you and put into your DNA for a purpose. Enjoy it. Don't cover up your emotions. Don't shut them in. Don't lock them up. Allow yourself to feel your feelings. So when you're grieving and somebody comes along and says, don't cry, say, why not? It's going to be good for me if I can cry. Shortest verse in the Bible, John 5:35, Jesus wept. Why? He's Creator God. He wanted to show men that men can cry too. Verse 14 and 15, there is only one constant in life, And that constant is Christ Jesus. When all of life is changing around us, here is that constant. Malachi 3:6, for I am the Lord, I change not. Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. When the harsh currents of life want to drive you crashing against the shore, Hebrews 6:19 says that Jesus is your anchor of hope, holding you safe and holding you sure. He will not let you go. And when fears, concerns, troubles, doubts surround you and attack you in full force, Psalm 18:2 says this, He is your rock and your fortress. He is your shelter in the time of your storm. You serve the living God. He is the sovereign of the universe. He is King. He is Lord of Lords. He's got the times of your life in the palm of His hand. Each tick of the clock reminds you, and each tick of the clock reminds me, only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. These are the times of your life. Don't waste them. Invest them in serving Christ Jesus. Amen? Let's pray. This morning, Father, we can be such bad stewards of our time. We can find a million reasons not to pray, a million reasons not to read our Bible, but the truth is they're only excuses, because people always find enough time to do the things they want. Father, plant in us the deep desire to want more of your word, to want to speak to you more in prayer, to increase our faith, our knowledge, our wisdom, and our understanding by digging into your word. Lord, give us the time to encourage others, to live, to help people, to be peacemakers, to be carriers of your love, a love that's so infectious. When others see the love of Jesus Christ in us, it draws those people to him. And Father, help us to care enough to spend the time to share the gospel of Jesus Christ, what he did on Calvary, with the people who are interested. When you give us divine appointment, help us not to be shy nor intimidated. Help us to just speak out. What a wonderful change in my life has taken place since Jesus came into my heart, and just share that. Now bless my brothers and sisters, Lord. Help them to prioritize or reprioritize their time, to make time for you, because that's the time that matters. In Christ's name, amen.
This is Joe Ferrillo, and welcome to the weekly sermon from Amwell Church of the Brethren. We are located at 40 Sandbrook Headquarters Road in Surgeonsville, New Jersey.
This week's message is presented by Pastor Bob DeSalvio and is entitled, The Times of Your Life.